Hello, everybody. Yes, it's National Dog Day. And look at these adorable doggies here at Best Friends Animal Shelter. We've been talking about National Dog Day, which was founded back in 2004. It celebrates all dogs, all breeds. And one of the goals is to recognize the high number of dogs that need to be rescued. And, you know, we've been talking about this all morning long. Millions of dogs worldwide are killed every year simply because they are unwanted. Here at Best Friend Animal Shelter in Mission Hills, there are a lot of dogs that were brought in for one reason or another. Michelle Sathy works here at the center. What are some of the reasons given?
You know, they range from kind of the ridiculous, like my dog doesn't match my curtains or my dog is too small or too big, to real lifestyle or life change issues like I lost my job, I lost my home. It just totally varies.
So to celebrate National Dog Day, you have an adoption going on that's really cheap.
We do. $10 adoptions all weekend. But come on down today. We're open from noon to 8 p.m. And we always have a two-for-one adoption special. So say you want to take home Poncho and his buddy Sailor, same price, $10. They're fixed, vaccinated, microchipped. It's really a fabulous deal.
You can beat that. And if you are considering adoption, what are the things you should take into consideration?
Really, your primary concern should be your lifestyle. So if you are a couch potato, don't adopt a young, active dog. It's not going to be a good match. But if you are active, we have, like, great dogs that love to go on hikes and runs. Or if you're kind of less active, we have little couch potato guys. Yeah.
This is Poncho. He's 2 years old. And she was talking about the couch potato right here. This is George. Adorable little guy. Come on, turn around, George. Nope, doesn't want to do it. And this right here is Biscuit, and she loves to play. So we've got the dogs here for you. Let's celebrate National Dog Day. Back to you guys.
And National Dog Day was a hit. And I play that soundbite because in Sacramento, California, they are giving away animals until the 31st of December. You're listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR. I'm on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, SoundCloud.com, on SoundCloud, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, and some of our at your -4g.com. Yeah, folks, we want to make sure that pets find great homes, forever homes. That's the important thing, forever homes. Anyway, sit back, relax, and enjoy.
到的是在现场作业是有一个班组大概56名工人，但是非常遗憾的是 这个时间段正好是这个工地上泥工和钢筋工的这个交接班的时间，所以说这一次在现场当时的这个施工人员应该是至少超过60人之多。那么现在我们在这个现场可以看到，整个救援工作呢还是在紧张的进行。但是呢，刚才我在会上也了解到一个信息，江西省的省委书记陆新社呢，在这个会上在现场表示，他现场看完以后，他觉得这个救援的进展和力度现在还并不是很
够。Yeah, folks, you're listening to Views with a Twist.
现场参与救援的这个指挥部呢
，JDR, and if you're not understanding a thing, well, you're not alone. I don't understand anything either.
以及在各种物资
上，this is from yesterday morning.There was an accident at a nuclear plant in China. There was some sort of collapse. Patio collapse, I don't know. Something collapsed. And it's a big thing. Yeah, you can hear the enthusiasm and the, you know, the shock in their voices. Anyway, I just thought that I would add that soundbite because it had happened at the moment as I was recording the show. You know, this thing in China all of a sudden popped up.And I went to YouTube to check it out, but I didn't listen to it then, so I didn't hear that it was in Chinese. They have some sounds of whatever it was that collapsed, so you're gonna hear that. Yeah, just a lot of crazy stuff going on over there in China. And from what I understand, there's at least 67 dead. At least 67. And here's the funny thing. I started recording this show yesterday morning, but... was it yesterday morning? Well, it was sometime yesterday. And so anyway, I'll be back. Mm-hmm.With all the laughter, the smiling faces. You left me here with all the contradictions, lies and convictions. You left me here with all the unreal reality. All those crazy contradictions, those crazy, crazy things. You left me here.You left me here. You left me here with all the crazy people making life a serious thing. You left me here with someone reallyThis is the point. It's time to spread the love and not the hate. It's time to get rid of the nonsense. Got to break it on down. Got to do the right thing. Yeah. But you left me here. You left me here. me here. You left me here. You left me here. Oh, you left me here.
Families of enormous wealth have dark and sometimes scandalous, even monstrous past. Donald Trump's clan is no exception to that rule. In this video, I will give a breakdown of that. Okay, we all know Donald Trump is a loudmouth brat and who have made headlines from his money-making deals and family name. But him wanting to run for president and seem to be pretty darn close to winning. But the question is, why is he winning and what is the true agenda? But in order to do that, we have to go back in the past and his family history. Okay, if you didn't know, Donald Trump's grandfather was a pimp and a tax evader. His father was a racist who, in the course of his life, clashed with New York police as a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and then as a wealthy real estate magnate, refused to rent to people of color. Donald Trump's legacy is anything but rags to riches story. His dad kicked the bucket with $250 to $300 million in the bank. The man who wants to ban all people of particular religion from travel wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. His was white gold. The only thing more obnoxious than Donald Trump himself is his family money-grubbing bigot history. That's a nice way of saying it. Trump made his first fortune in operating boomtown hotels, restaurants, and brothels. It's more accurate, according to the CBC News report. Donald Trump's grandfather ran Canadian brothel during Gold Rush. Trump's grandfather was born in Germany to parents who were employed by a vineyard. He moved to New York City in 1885, where he became a barber. Now, after 6 years of this, Frederick Trump moved across the United States to Seattle, Washington, where he owned and operated what he referred to as a decadent restaurant that was actually called Poodle Dog in Seattle's Red Light District. Okay, the name concept that had already been established in San Francisco, he named his restaurant after a dog, but would later make money selling horse meat. Now, around this time, Frederick Trump became a U.S. citizen. Donald Trump has often said he made his money the old-fashioned way, and this is true. He did prosper from racism, if you want to call it the old-fashioned way. A New York Times article published an article back in June 1st, 1927, related to Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump's role in the Ku Klux Klan brawl that pitted 1,000 Klansmen against 100 New York City police in Queens. Though he wasn't officially charged, Fred Trump was one of 7 Klansmen arrested during the incident. It probably wasn't very shocking at the time, as America's racist practices were in full swing generation after Abe Lincoln freed the country's African American slaves. In fact, the mid-20s saw a peak in the KKK activity. Donald's father was among many lynchings and hangings of blacks back then. Donald Trump would later deny his father's involvement in the KKK brawl, in spite of the fact that it happened 2 decades before he was even born. Fred Trump's enthusiasm for racism practices never changed until he was forced to do so by law. Now, President candidate Donald Trump joined his father's real estate company in New York in 1971. We're going to fast forward here. And only 2 years later, the company was served with a civil rights lawsuit that was filed against the Trump organization because he refused to rent to black people. So ask yourself, what is his true agenda? And who is backing him up? Well, remember what I just said. Donald Trump and his father are part of the KKK. And there are some pretty powerful people in that racist clan. And they've been wanting to get America back to where it was when it was segregated, quote-unquote, great again. They believe that blacks are taking over, which is straight bullshit. But whatever. Donald will not be running America if he becomes president. He's only the face of it. Donald is merely a spokesperson for the campaign. He's been known to be a clone as well. And there seem to be 2 Donalds. Take a look at this video.
This election. Let's talk about the election. You know, as we speak today, it's down to Hillary, Bernie, and Trump.
Yeah, but see, you're talking to the wrong person. I never believed there was going to be an election this year. Mm-hmm. And it's not. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Trump ain't got no money. Trump ain't never had no money. Hmm? They talk about his daddy. You ever seen a picture of his daddy? You ever seen anybody write a story about his daddy?
No. No, I mean, they got his money from his dad, yeah.
I didn't ask you that. So you keep talking to me. I don't want to hear. I asked you, have you ever seen a picture of his daddy?
No, I have not.
Have you ever heard a story about his daddy? And that don't bother you? Mm. Huh? That don't bother you? So much of us out here been talking and shit. His sister had the whole press conference. No, he didn't give him no $100 million. He gave him $1 million. I wonder why he didn't give me none. Huh? Mm-hmm. You know? See, if you're getting in this here, you're going to call because you're going to move to people more powerful than me. They ain't going to talk to you if you don't know nothing. Mm-hmm. The fuck I'm going to talk to you about money if you ain't got none? Mm-hmm. Hmm? That's what this shit is about. That's why NBC and ABC, that's why I look at them. Not that I believe them, they got a $1 trillion industry to do the research, and I can pick it apart. Mm-hmm. That's simple.
So, I know you don't expect there to be an election, but did you think Trump would get as far as he has?
I didn't know who it was. Huh? Mm-hmm. Look, let me show you something. Let me show you the shit that I know. It's the Wall Street Journal, one of the most powerful papers in the world. Don't mean it's no good. What's the date? Now, hold it 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Hold it. Hold. I ran for president 1968. Mm-hmm. The election was Tuesday, November the 4th. This story ran Friday, 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. 7. Now, what's the date on that? What paper is that?
Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. November 7th, 1968.
Headlines. 6.
Election computer goofs gives Gregory 9 million votes.
That's why you can't talk to me. I got too much information. Mm-hmm. I got 9 million votes in the state of Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. That's what fasting do. Huh? Mm-hmm. Now read the first paragraph.
Some machines just aren't to be believed. Take the big computer in New York that was designed to compile results of Tuesday's general election.
All elections are tabulated in New York City. Mm-hmm. Hmm? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
At one point early yesterday morning, the machine was crediting Dick Gregory, the comedian turned presidential candidate, with 9 million votes in Pennsylvania.
Now, here's what happened. The energy took over, the computers, and they had to shut them down because it projected me as president-elect of the United States. And they couldn't change it because they couldn't change the numbers. Wow. 9 million votes in one state. I know what it was. They went in there and tricked the machine for Nixon, but somebody put it on wrong, and they gave it to me. So I'm going in the election and know all this bullshit y'all read. It ain't true. It is just like they did that. Just like they did that.
Yeah. The one time Trump lost, he said it was rigged. The few weeks ago.
First, there's two Trumps.
Okay.
The one in the red tie is the real one. The one in the blue tie is not. The one you saw last night after the victory was the blue tie. Now, if you would punch up Dr. Carson, Ben Carson, when Trump called him a pedophile, and the next day he joined Trump, and the guy asked him, see, every now and then you slip and say something. He said, why'd you do that? He said, there's two Trumps. I was with the good one.
Okay, if you all know your history and have read, Donald is known for killing, raping, stealing, conning, and scamming companies, people, and countless others. And guess what? He's never paid for it, and guess what? He never will. Just like George Zimmerman, the murder of Trayvon Martin, and the son of one of the members of KKK, you see, they have high people in high places. Now, what Donald doesn't know is that this is a different time and generation, and lots of people are not as racist as these old generation and small, young percentage racist KKK Klan members are. So this idea of him getting elected is a huge gamble that many of the Klan members are reconsidering. But the question is, are they really? Because we have to understand, they want the old America back, and as I quote again, America great again. And they want it bad, but the struggle between the old and new generation is the issue. Not to mention, God is working this election, and he will have the final say. Donald is a con artist, as we all know, and he's known for his embellishment and elaboration. He says he's the greatest and that he's so smart, but the truth is, he's not. He schemed his way to the top. He's nothing more than a spoiled, big-mouthed brat who used to get in his way. He's not running for president because he cares. He's running because he's broke. And he says so himself. Take a look at this video.
Standing tall as a new money bastion for Trump's version of the American dream.
Trump is the sort of most democratic billionaire, if there ever could be one. Anyone, if you have the money, can get in. And I think that speaks, that's a very powerful message that Americans connect with.
This is the country where everyone thinks they can make it big.
Still, Donald strives to be just a little bigger than everyone else.
If you lost your fortune today, what would you do tomorrow?
Maybe I'd run for president. I don't know.
Would you like to be the president of the United States?
I really don't believe I would run. I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life, and I also see it as somebody with strong views and somebody with...
And folks, let me tell you, listening to JDR, you're listening to Views with a Twist, Complaint Department, also known sometimes as CD. Anyway, you know, that little soundbite, you can take it with a grain of salt if you want. Or you can, you know, actually see something in it. Excuse me, I don't, you know, I can't tell you what to do. Personally, I believe that all of this stuff with Trump and everything like that, listen, he's going to be our president. Let's look and see what he does for 4 years. If we like it, okay, we'll give him another four. If we don't like it, we'll get him out. You know, all this stuff about what his, you know, what was done in the past and what his family has done in the past and the races and the Ku Klux Klan and yada, yada, yada. That's all fine and good, but you know, it's of no pertinence at the moment. It is of absolutely no pertinence at the moment. You know, I mean, it's why? You know? So anyway, you listen to Views with a Twist on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com, and we're also on SoundCloud. Yeah, I'll return.
Professor! I got it open! Good heavens, man! Great Scott, we've discovered the fountain of all knowledge of Egypt and the entire world. Do you realize the importance of this moment, Smedley?
Yes, sir, I do.
Do you see the brilliance, the untold years?
I see it, sir.
Professor's medicine!
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Father. You slave.
Look! What is this?
See. Says. Cannot. This is the elixir of life, sir.
The elixir of life?
The cure for all diseases.
Wait. Let's see here. Wait.
Give it to me.
The inscription on the bottom.
Give it to me. Give it.
Open at other end.
Lummox.
This can't be, man.
What?
You know what this is?
What is it, Buna?
It's the Book of Life.
Book of Life.
In the beginning, when man arrived on Earth, the black gods did leave their spacecraft, and they walked, and they named the beast of the sea and the animals of the land.
Heavens.
And man, in his blackness, did walk to Earth, making a... Medicine? Then discovered time. These were all black people got down. Wait a minute.
Now?
This ain't, there ain't nothing here about white. This is ours, Jack. Wait till the brothers hear this.
Buna.
I'm gonna get this book out of here, baby. This tells me real tea.
Buna, control yourself. Control yourself. Don't you see?
What you mean, Jack? Look at this here. Black people discovered it. Started the music and the brain surgery back in the year 3 B.C.
Yes, of course, Buna.
Man, they was getting down. This is it, brother.
Yes,
everybody gonna know about this. This book, we can change the history. Civilization will be changed.
By all means.
Yeah, this is gonna be it.
Get the bulldozers. There's nothing here.
But.
Shut up. Good heavens, time for tea, eh?
What?
Life. He found what we were doing. Now, he said back in 3 B.C., but it was more like 3,000 B.C.
Right.
I got to get this book out of here. Wait till I tell the brothers. It will change history. Once black folk know who they are, they will change their thinking. They will change their speech. They will change their behavior. And we will transform the world. White folks said, you can't have that, because we make money off you being ignorant. Remember Richard Pryor in the 1980s? I think it was Richard Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip. Said that he went to Africa. He spent a couple of weeks in Africa. And he said that while he was in Africa, he realized, ain't no niggas in Africa. And that realization...
Now, I don't know who that last commentary was from, but that whole Richard Pryor skit is from, it's taken out of a real and actual time when he went and visited Africa, and he went to the pyramids. And they let him inside the pyramids, and, you know, him being Richard Pryor, I guess they let him, you know, go some places where they don't usually let tourists go into. And he's looking around, and he's saying, wait a minute, all these people on the wall are black. You know, there's even a joke that he looked at one and said, "Look, that one looks like my Uncle James." You know, and it's you know, he actually so much to the point that when the tour guides realized what was happening, and that he was realizing that ancient Egypt, Greece, ancient anything started off black. Well, that was one thing they couldn't let him walk out with. So they had to rush him out of there. And from what I understand, they cut the tour short and they rushed him right on out of there. There's, you know, from what I, you know, it's, I mean, there's rumors that he was even paid off to keep his mouth shut and not say anything, you know. But, you know, you just heard the skit. I don't know how long after his trip that they did this skit, you know. But it's based on fact. It's totally based on fact. And, you know, it's based on the fact that, you know, they say that Thomas Edison, I think it's Thomas Edison, yeah, they say that he ripped off a lot of black people with his ideas. They say he ripped off many a black person. He would just take ideas and ideas. Yeah. You know, it's, hey. If you ever get to see the film or the documentary Hidden Colors, you need to watch it. It's a very good film. Anyway, let me give my shout outs to the FDNY, the NYPD, North Shore Animal League, ASPCA, SOS Wildlife, Show Your Soft Side, Pet Pardons, did I just say North Shore Animal League? I don't know. I'm going to say that now. I just said it. And Alamada Front End Deutschland, and everyone that listens to me. You know, this show's kind of late. You know, I'm actually kind of missing a show. But, you know, I had microphone problems, so now I have a different microphone, and, you know, I have to get used to it. And, you know, life is always throwing a curveball at you. You know, you just got to learn how to hit a curveball. All right. So there's plenty of show left. Sit back and listen, and if I'm not back, I will see you next week.
Ask anyone here and they'll tell you the guarantee of a Thanksgiving meal should never be taken for granted. But for Juan Manuel Nevado, the gratitude is all over his face and in his eyes.
Everything is just beautiful.
On this night before Thanksgiving, hundreds of the city's hungry and homeless gathered for a pre-holiday dinner at the Bowery Mission.
It means a lot. It means that people care.
And a lot of people care. More than 650 volunteers have packed the kitchen this week to prepare for the biggest day of the year.
We started cooking on Sunday morning. Actually, 3,700 pounds of turkey.
Tons of food because the need has never been so great. That was clear to first-time helpers like Lance Polivy.
Just see how appreciative each person is when they get that tray of food in front of them.
And veteran volunteers like Nicholas DeMarco.
There's an urgency this year, especially the climate of the city, the climate in the United States with homeless on the rise.
Volunteers will be serving meals on the hour from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. to about 2,000 people in search of food and a sense of family.
In a way that truly invites them to say, hey, maybe they do actually love me.
A sentiment that means so much.
But this place saved my life.
To the thousands who will call the Bowery Mission their home for the holidays. On the Lower East Side, Jessica Layton, CBS 2 News.
Yeah.
folks, it's me, it's JDR, and you're listening to Views with a Twist, Complaint Department, on your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, podomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tawa Kwan at your-poetry.com, and we're also on SoundCloud. Yeah, so that's just, I was just wanting to say to everybody, I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I wanted to get this show out earlier, but there was complications. I'm not one to celebrate the holidays very much, but, I can appreciate when people are out and they've got the family together, friends together, and stuff like that. I get it. I don't have a problem with it at all. Anyway, I hope you had enough turkey and all that junk. And, yeah, listen, we're going to fade out a little bit, a couple of minutes left, 10, 20, or something like that, 13, 10, something like, 13. Yeah, so we're going to fade out. I'm loving my microphone. I'm not leaving this microphone. I'm just staying with this microphone. I'm not going to stop talking. I'm just going to just let the show keep going, and I'm just going to keep talking. I'm not going to stop talking. I'm just going to talk.
A California mother who went missing during a jog has been found alive.
She was bound with restraints, but was able to summon help from a passing motorist who then notified law enforcement.
Authorities say 34-year-old Sherry Papini was abducted and held against her will ever since she went out for a run earlier this month in her small town and never came home. Her husband put out a desperate plea to anyone who might have taken her.
Bring her home. Bring her home. Just bring her home. Bring her home safe. There's a $50,000 reward. Bring her home.
The Shasta County Sheriff says Papini was found along a highway in Yolo County, about 3 hours south of where she went missing. She's in the hospital being treated for injuries which are not life-threatening. Now investigators are trying to find out who took her and why. For InsideEdition.com, I'm Mara Montalbano.
Waiting on the 7-line.
You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down, hold yourself in line. You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down, hold yourself in line. You keep waiting for another time. Can't keep it down.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Then prove it.
You want me to prove it?
Yeah, prove it. Okay, prove it.
Folks, thanks for listening. You've been listening to Views with a Twist. My name is JDR, live in your iTunes, your Android, your iOS, Potomatic.com, John Robinson at writerscafe.org, Tom O'Connor at your-poetry.com, and we're also on SoundCloud. Yes, usually I don't come back. That's right. Usually I just let the show fade out. But I'm just loving my microphone. I am not leaving my microphone. It's my microphone and me. Oh, shooby-dooby, shooby-doo-wah.
Are you a liquid sound boy?